So the open session now adjourns, and the Planning Authority will commence at what time then? 7:11. So the first item is on page 7, which is Officers' Reports to the Planning Authority, and there's a recommendation on page 9. Looking for a mover and a seconder. Moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor... No one wants to second. Councillor Wass? Thank you. Any comments or questions in relation to the Delegated Authority Report?
Just a question on page 9. I wonder if... it's about the Beach Road application. I see it's now done under delegation. Could we get a report on how long that took to get through council? Thank you.
Yeah, we can take... General Manager, can we take that on notice, how long it took?
Thank you. Through Mr Mayor, I'll take that question on notice, Councillor Grace.
Councillor Wass.
Thank you, Mayor. The second last item in the development applications for minor amendments to permit. I understand that the builder had two brain tumours removed and over a period of time had a number of difficulties and built the building back to front, or if you like, changed the orientation by 180%. The developer got a bill to take this forward and had to pay a development application fee of $1,142 and sought some compassionate grounds on behalf of his builder, but was told that there's no such thing in Kingborough Council as compassionate grounds. Could I have an explanation on that, please?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr Mayor. Councillor Wass, I don't recall receiving a request for review of the fee at all.
If I can take that further, Mr Mayor. It did not go to you, General Manager. It went to the staff officer that was dealing with it.
Look, this seems like something that you could raise with the General Manager outside of the meeting.
I intend to, because I'm talking to that person next week, and he's giving me a list of, and if you like, there will be staff members named, which he wants apologies from, and the list goes on, and it's going to be a big one, and I'm prepared to bring it up in an open council meeting.
Absolutely something that the General Manager, I'm sure, would be happy to meet with you privately. It's not something we need to bring up.
I'm happy to bring it up in an open council meeting.
Okay, well, that'd be ideal if you didn't. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Just on a bit of a lighter note, the 201934, the Animal Petting Farm. Just wondering if it's a tourist attraction.
Mr Ferrier.
Through the chair, I understand it is. I understand it's a commercial business.
Thank you for that. Okay, any further? There's no lights on, so I'm about to wrap it up. The motion is that report be noted. It was moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Wass. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. We move on to the Kingborough Draft Local Provision Schedule. There's a recommendation on page 12. Anyone like to move that? Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Midgley. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. Relatively self-explanatory matter, this one. Clearly we made some computational errors in the mapping that we provided to the Planning Commission, and all this motion does is seek to rectify that.
Councillor Grace.
I have no trouble, but I just found it difficult to read the towns we were dealing with because of the print, that's all. But I'm assuming, as the report stated, it's just rectifying stuff that we've already...
Thanks, Councillor Grace. Yep. I think that's the answer's yes. Mr Ferrier, yep. Nodding. Okay, no further comments or questions. We will wrap this one up. The motion moved by Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Midgley, is that Council resolve that the attached revised zoning maps are to be included within the Kingborough Draft Local Provision Schedule in order that it meets the Local Provision Schedule criteria prescribed in Section 34 of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against, motion's carried unanimously. With that, the planning session, the Planning Authority session adjourns, and the open session of council will resume at 7:16 p.m. Next item is on page 50, and it's a notice of motion from Councillor Cordover. Councillor Cordover, would you...
I move.
Move
so
that.
Moved.
And looking for a seconder, Councillor Midgley. Councillor Cordover.
Yes, thanks very much. Through you, Mayor. Just 5 days ago, on the 6th of February this year, the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists moved the doomsday clock forward 2 minutes to 100 seconds to midnight. That clock is a symbol of how close we are to destroying the world. And the executive chairman, who is also the former governor of California, said that the danger of nuclear blunder is increasing, but because the average guy doesn't know much about the nuclear arms race, it's not a topic of general coverage. But it has the same cataclysmic disaster risk as climate change. And the former US Secretary of Defence, William Perry, former President of Ireland, Mary Robinson, and the UN Secretary General, Ban Ki-moon, all share this concern. Now, there are many reasons why this is important, but not least is the rash behaviour of President Donald Trump, the tearing up of nuclear arms treaties such as those with Iran, the killing of Iran's most powerful military commander, to name but a few. The question then becomes, well, how does it affect us here in Kingborough, and why should we get involved? An issue that has seen scant attention paid to it is that just over a week ago, the US deployed a new submarine-launched low-yield nuclear weapon. And this is much easier to use and much more likely to be used. They call it low-yield, but it will be one-third the size of Hiroshima, the explosion, 20 New York City blocks. Nuclear brinksmanship is on the rise. It's happening daily all around us. Australia needs to take a position. The federal government is not taking one. The standard you walk past is the standard you accept. Now, from the Kingborough Council, we cannot negotiate world peace or even influence the decisions of federal government, but we can do. What we can do is let our community know that we care, let our community know that we are aware, we can make a statement, we can acknowledge reality, and we can stand by our values. And the Hobart City Council has done just that by endorsing the ICANN Cities Appeal, which simply recommends that we adopt the following statement. There's no financial risk. There's no requirement to take any action beyond endorsing this statement. Local governments can build support for this treaty by endorsing the ICANN Cities Appeal. 25 other cities and towns around Australia have done just that. And Mayors for Peace and Nuclear Free Zone initiatives demonstrate that the local government can play an important role in engaging in matters of international importance. Endorsing the ICANN Cities Appeal would demonstrate that in addition to acting locally, we also think globally. And as the Kingborough Council is the second southernmost municipality in Australia, and with an interest in Antarctic and Southern Ocean matters, Kingborough can take a leadership position by filling that leadership gap left by the federal government in this space in defending Article 5 of the Antarctic Treaty that bans nuclear explosions and the disposal of nuclear waste from Antarctica. Why am I involved? Well, I've been sitting in as representative for Kingborough Council on the Tasmanian Polar Networks, and so I'm keenly aware of how much of a threat nuclear proliferation is to Antarctica, and also what a risk it poses to many people whose businesses depend on the Antarctic and Southern Ocean industry here in Kingborough. The most effective way to prevent nuclear weapons from being deployed, tested or stored in Antarctica and therefore directly hurting our region is through the outright banning of nuclear weapons, as outlined in the UN Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons. The Australian government has not yet acted to ratify the United Nations Treaty on Nuclear Weapons, and that gives us the opportunity to do something. As I said before, we can't change the whole world, but I was speaking with a politician recently who said the best bit of political advice they ever got was to take responsibility. Even if it's not within your job description, even if it's above your pay grade, take responsibility. Do what little you can. And here is an opportunity for us on the Kingborough Council. When I attended that peace vote on behalf of the Kingborough Council, and I spoke with the people from the Nobel Peace Prize winning ICANN, and they said to me, the one thing that Kingborough could do that would actually have a tangible impact, even though we're small, even though we're at the bottom of the world, the one thing we can do is pass this ICANN Cities Appeal. So if it's no skin off our nose to do so, why shouldn't we send a clear and unequivocal message to the people of Kingborough that we care, we're aware, we act locally, but we think globally. So please, I encourage you to endorse this motion.
Councillor Westwood.
Councillor Cordover. What is the relevance to Kingborough and why should we get involved? I would like to hear in your sum up exactly how many individual people have walked up to you since you've been elected to council and asked you to bring this motion before us today at this table. Your notice of motion reads, "Our municipality is deeply concerned. We firmly believe. We call on our national government. There is no way I can support this motion because in the whole 15 and a half months that I've been sitting at this table, not one single person on one occasion, on any single one time, has walked up to me and mentioned the words nuclear weapons. Not a single person. So it frustrates me and it really annoys me that you would bring something like this to the table at a local government level and ask us to spend time debating it and considering it and responding to it. I went for a run today. The whole 7 kilometres, I was thinking about this notice of motion. And that annoys me because I would much rather have been thinking about something to do with health and wellbeing outcomes as part of the future directions plan. But no, I was thinking about this notice of motion. I think it is a privilege to sit here and use my voice to speak on behalf of our municipality, on behalf of the people who elected me. And whilst I can make an assumption that people may agree with the motion you've put forth, I have no evidence to back that up. Not a single person has ever talked to me about the issue that you're bringing forward tonight. So I have zero evidence to back up a broad assumption that I might make. I respectfully suggest that this is more something at a state or federal government level, not at a local government level. In addition to that, there were obviously a large number of people here tonight who'd seen the agenda paper and they were here for various issues, seemingly just one issue. Not one single person contacted me to offer their support of your motion. Not one. So I take that as saying that the community I represent, and I appreciate that we are diverse people around this table and we represent different people, but the people I speak on behalf of, this is not on their radar. This is not something that they expect us to be sitting at the table debating. We're not going to save the world by sitting at this seat at the table, but we can do things to improve our planet. For example, implementing environmentally friendly dog poo bags. So last Monday, someone handed me a petition with 194 signatures asking for environmentally friendly dog poo bags. It's not a sexy issue, but it is something that can help our own municipality make a contribution to the environment. So I don't like that you come here seemingly with a personal agenda, with a political agenda. We don't drive political agendas here, as far as I'm aware. We make good decisions on behalf of the community. We represent the people who come to us and ask us to advocate and use our voices to speak on their behalf. And respectfully, I don't support your motion, and it annoys me that you've brought it to this table tonight.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm a bit like you, Councillor Westwood. I think about things on my runs as well. Don't know what I thought about before I was on council. I can hear points of what you are saying, and we have had discussions about this, and I was thinking that a debate like this would come up in regards to this motion. I actually have looked through my emails and I noticed that I had actually a couple of emails that came through to me about this and I didn't act on it. I think one actually that the Mayor responded to, I think it was last year, from someone from Bruny Island, yes, and I've had a couple myself. We were all invited onto the, I think it was the peace boat that was mentioned. We were all invited. I actually couldn't attend. And I guess I was also in deliberation as to what I would, which way I would vote in regards to this. But I did hear that Councillor Cordova said, what is something that, we could do as a council to support the work of the peace boat. And he was recommended to put this motion forward. I also note that he sits on the Polar Network group as well, something that I haven't actually been involved in or had really that much time in. And so, again, that's come out from two community things, one that he's been invited to and a network that he actually sits in as a representative from council. As Councillor Westwood said, as councillors, we have different points of views, and that's why we're all here. I think at a local government level, we can lobby to the federal level, who is not actually acting on this, and it is why councils around Australia actually are supporting this, to bring some change, to bring some momentum to the federal government to take action in this. We all aspire to New Zealand and the great work they're doing. They've taken action on this. Ireland is in, Austria is in, but not Australia. I think it doesn't give any... It just makes a statement. It doesn't give
Councillors
any...
Councillors Street in Bastogne, do you mind? Thanks. Continue, Councillors.
It doesn't give any extra work. It makes a statement to our community, and I think a lot of things happen at council, actually, at meetings that community members don't know about. So I will support this... in our role as particular interests and views, in our role as lobbying, in our views to make a statement to the federal government of Australia that we're joining forces with other councils. I did research around how many other councils have actually supported this motion, and there is quite a few, and there are very similar. I listened even to a debate. That was a bit of a daggy thing to do, but anyway. And there is actually pretty similar issues. Why should we do it? Because it's not a local government level. But anyway, it's something that we are free as councillors to bring forward if we have an interest in. And I just hope, rather than just saying no and not even bothering straight away, I hope that some of you did some research to consider this.
I'll about to call you because there's no other lights. Councillor Grace?
Look, quickly... I thought this came to the tables, not this, but similar, many, many years ago. I think Councillor Bush raised this, and he didn't raise it once, he raised it a few times. I think everybody's mindful, particularly when the big American boat came in. It made everybody aware. This is only asking for council's decision required. What do you mean by council decision required? That's us voting on it. It will go nowhere apart from making people aware. I have no problem with that.
Councillor Reid.
I wish that there were people in the public gallery to see the rousing contribution that Councillor Westwood has just made, because I don't think I've seen her that fired up on an issue for a while. Yeah, it must have been a very long, angry run. But look, I echo her sentiments. Unfortunately, I do feel that this is not the forum where we can bring any topic that we're passionate about and spend time debating it and trying to get a council position on it. If we were to do that, we will have lengthy, lengthy, lengthy council meetings and we'll have to move to having them weekly. We all...
No one wants
and,
that.
And Mrs. Morton looks like she's going to resign right now that I've said that. Look, we all have... subjects that we're passionate about and we're interested in, and I think that's to be commended, and we should have more passionate people in the world about things. But I do feel very strongly in this instance that we do need to limit ourselves to things that are within the local government domain. I thank Councillor Cordova for bringing it, but I just don't feel that we should be in a position that we're trying to have a position on every single issue that exists, because I think we have enough issues within our own municipality that are under our control that we should be focusing our attention on.
For my contribution, I used to have this debate with council, the other Council Street, actually, because Councillor Atkinson used to bring some really... The other one. Councillor Atkinson used to bring motions that I really agreed with, and I know Councillor Street did as well. One was marriage equality, and we both agreed passionately in marriage equality, but Councillor Street said, it's not our business, so I'm not voting for it. And I said, well, he's asked me the question, I do, and I voted for it. So we had differing... But having said that, this, and I think you said this in the response to the man from Bruny Island, this just goes a little bit too far for me. I don't know enough about foreign nuclear policy to have. There's no qualified advice about nuclear policy in the room from staff, and I guess for that reason, whilst I actually, I sort of agree with your intent, but I just don't think it's our job. But I do think it's the job of 12 Tasmanian senators and 5 members of the House of Representatives, and we elect those people for those jobs. And I think Australian foreign policy is a matter for them and not for this council. That's my contribution. Before I ask Councillor Cordover to sum up, anyone else? No, Councillor Cordover.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor. This debate has focused on whether or not it's our job. And I started out by saying that it makes sense to make things your responsibility. Even if you can do precious little, it makes sense to show your colours, to say what you believe in, and to stand by your values. And I note that our council's value is to be accountable, to show respect, to be excellent, and to be inclusive. Now, how come it's not our jobs on the Kingborough Council to delve into this matter, but it was the job of 25 other local governments around Australia, and it was the job of Hobart, 15 minutes down the road? How come Hobart councillors think it's their job, but we simply can't afford the time? So this debate has focused on whether or not it matters for us to get involved, whether or not, as Councillor Westwood said, it's an issue that's on the forefront of everybody's mind, whether it matters or not. In my circumstance, how many individual people have walked up to me and mentioned domestic violence and asked me to act upon it on the council? None. And yet, despite that, I would absolutely be happy for the council to lean in and support any statement of solidarity with the prevention of domestic violence. In fact, I hope we do lean in to that debate.
Point of order.
I hope we should.
Domestic violence. Sir. Just for the audio, you're not allowed to introduce new material, so you have to stick with what's already been said.
In this case, thank you, Mayor, and I appreciate that. No one has talked to me personally about a million different things, but they still matter. Will we have inordinately lengthy council meetings, as some of the councillors have suggested? No, because most of this council is not willing to put forward anything about anything. If this is not within the local government domain, what is? We have enough issues to deal with in our own area, says Councillor Westwood. Well, where's Councillor Westwood's motion about the important things in her area? Where's Councillor Reet's motion about important things in her area? How much of this council's time has it been wasted? And can we walk and chew gum at the same time? How much time did we exhaust on this? And are environmentally dog poo bags mutually exclusive with having an opinion on whether or not nuclear proliferation is a bad thing? I think they're not mutually exclusive. I think we can absolutely do what the councillors of Hobart managed to do and take a sensible position on something that is an existential threat to all of us in this community.
Thanks, Councillor Cordover. Okay, so the motion as moved by Councillor Cordover and seconded by Councillor Midgley is that Kingborough Council endorses the ICAN Cities Appeal, which reads, "Our municipality is deeply concerned about the grave threat that nuclear weapons pose to communities throughout the world. We firmly believe that our residents have the right to live in a world free from this threat. Any use of nuclear weapons, whether deliberate or accidental, would have catastrophic, far-reaching and long-lasting consequences for people and the environment. Therefore, we warmly welcome the adoption of the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons by the United Nations in 2017, and we call on our national government to sign and ratify it without delay. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? We'll have a division. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Cordover and Grace, and all those against, please raise your hand. Councillor Street, Bastone, Reet, Westwood, Midgley, Wass and Winter. The motion is lost. Okay. We move on to petitions, I think. Yes, petitions still being actioned. There are no petitions still being actioned. Petitions received in the last period. Dog poo bags.
Yeah. Can I just have a question?
Yep.
Can I please ask a question?
Sure.
So I'm just wondering, because there has been, I think I've heard that will cost council approximately $20,000. I'm just wondering.
Sorry, I thought it was about the.
It was about the dog poo bag petition.
No, you can't. I thought it was a procedural question you were going to ask, not a. So petitions last period, petition headed dog poo bags containing 194 signatures has been received by council, petitioning council to investigate the costs and benefits of using vegetable-based compostable bioplastic dog poo bags. Two, the investigation be presented at a council meeting within 5 months of the receipt of this petition. And three, be prepared to pay a premium to introduce the compostable bioplastic bags to replace the current dog poo bags.
It is.
There's a recommended motion on page 52. And the motion is moved by Councillor Wass and seconded by Councillor Street. Are we able to take questions on this now, General Manager? Now we've got a mover and seconder. Procedural, say no? No? Okay, I'm hearing you can't ask a question. Okay, so the motion, as moved by Councillor Wall, seconded by Councillor Street, is that the petition containing 194 signatures be received and referred to the appropriate department for a council, for a report to council. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against, motion is carried unanimously. We move on to the annual budget mid-year review. We have a recommended motion on page 59. Any takers? Moved by Councillor Westwood, seconded by Councillor Midgley. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. As outlined in the paper, this is to correct a couple of things that were missed when we considered this at our last meeting. In particular, F&G were missed in the final recommendation. However, details of F, low flow stormwater diversion to sewer, $200,000, and G, balance the remaining funding to be allocated for Brightwater Stage 2 works, were discussed in the paper. This is simply to reflect that they should have also been in the list that was in the recommendation.
Councillor Grace.
Yeah, I tried to raise some concerns at the last council meeting regarding this, particularly John Street. I'd like to seek that we get some sort of a report, surely, on such a large amount overspent on such a small project. It's not a large project, but Talone Road also. Brightwater Road, I don't know much about, but Tabers Road, I'm absolutely would like to know exactly what happened there with $120,000 overspent. And that future design projects of $60,000, we've put we've put money into the engineering department, I think before Mr. Arnold's time here, I'm not sure. No, we did inject money into engineering a couple of times, I think, in the budget, because we've all been conscious and we want designs done in ahead, and because we've mentioned before, if the cycle path hadn't have been designed and sitting on the table, we wouldn't have got the funds. So I'm 100% supporting. I think design, future design, is more important to me than the Kingston Sports Precinct, if you know what I mean, without being stupid about it, because if we haven't got sufficient amount of works on the table, what hope have we got? I mean, Councillor Midley can come in and ask for something she's lobbying for funding, because the government do listen to councillors, believe it or not, sometimes when they want to. They'll listen and help get the grant. They always go back to the mayor, and if the mayor's got the papers prepared, they will give us a bit of go. But I would like to get a report. Is that possible, that we should be given some idea why we're so far overspent? And particularly I looked at the large amount of contingencies that we already had in the contracts.
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor, so I'll just answer those very briefly there. So John Street and Talone Street were already subject of council reports there based on the tender prices that we received for both those projects there. So that was already flagged already that they were going over. So this is just to actually formalise that, if you like. Brightwater Stage 2 there, I guess, was an opportunity now that Channel Highway's been deferred for a little while. The future design projects is something that I put in place a couple of years ago, basically to allow us the ability to actually look at future design projects so that then we could actually budget for them in the next financial year. So that was an administrative error that was actually missed off the last budget there completely, so we didn't have any money in that one, so that was to ratify that side of things there. And the Tabus Road one, which was also mentioned there, so the original budget for that was allowing for a smaller pipe there with a Ford, basically where there's an issue down there at the moment where the buses actually go down Tabus Road and it floods from time to time. Once they went into the detailed design for that side of things there, they realised that it required a larger pipe and also other infrastructure, including guardrail as well, which is the reason for the larger overspend for that particular project.
Within your budgets, like we're nowhere near going to fulfil our capital works budget. I thought that the general manager and the manager of engineering, or what's your, I'm sorry, but your,
yes,
whatever, executive manager of engineering and your team of financial people, I thought you had the scope, if a project's not likely to go ahead because of some reason, and you know in time, to bring another one forward, which means you've got to get the design. So you have, is that right? You have the capacity to move some money within your budgets.
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Grace, that statement is correct. We do. But we also regularly report to Council on the capital budget spend, particularly in the context of the mid-year budget review, to take the opportunity for Council to reallocate funds to certain projects for reasons outlined in previous reports.
Okay, there are no other lights on. Councillor Westwood, did you want to sum up?
The motion moved by Councillor Westwood, seconded by Councillor Mitchell, is that Council note the current annual budget mid-year review and agree to reallocate $1.32 million within the existing capital program to other projects as follows: John Street reconstruction, $290,000, Tolone Avenue reconstruction, $250,000, Whitewater Road Stage 1 works, $75,000, Tabus Road stormwater, $120,000, Future Zion Project, $60,000, Low Flow stormwater diversion to sewer, $200,000, balance or remaining funding to be allocated for Brightwater Stage 2 works. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against, motion's carried unanimously. And the next item, you're not going well tonight. Thank you. Is the Bruny Island Waste Transfer Station operation. There's a recommended motion on page 74. Councillor Grace, did you say you'd like to move?
Yep.
Seconder. Councillor Bastone.
Thank you. Look, I'm beastly. I'm not sure about what it's costing us, $168,000 or $169,000 now a year. It seems to me, and I haven't got the figures when we actually let the contractor and the previous contractor, Sutherland, was doing the job. But it seems to me that it has skyrocketed considerably. And to be quite frank, there's not a lot more waste coming from the island. I look at the reports that come through, and it's been reduced by, 2 days a week opening. I think Sully was open most days. I guess it's up to council as well. I mean, I'm not sure whether we're going to look at the KWS whole operations. I mentioned, or somebody mentioned, I think it might have been Councillor Street at one time, said we may need to look at the whole KWS situation.
Me, I think.
You, yes, it may have been, yeah. Well,
dozens of times, actually.
Well, we sort of haven't got anything in the report.
Yeah, the reason for that is I did notice a motion a few years ago and it lost, so that's why it hasn't been reviewed.
It was lost, was it?
Yeah, 5-4. Yeah,
all right. I would recommend that we do go out to tender.
you've moved the motion that says we won't go out to tender.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're saying we shouldn't go out to tender?
No, I'm saying we should go out to tender.
We should go out to tender?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just point, you're moving point of order, because the motion that has been moved by Councillor Grace says the opposite thing, so does he want to withdraw his moving the motion?
Well, I don't think you can do that.
I thought that said or go to tender. Sorry, it says here...
That's okay. That's fine, Councillor Grace. I understand that your argument has been against... It has been to go out to re-tender on the...
So what do we do?
That's fine. You've moved it. You don't have to vote for it under the meeting procedures. You're supposed to have an open mind during the debate anyway. Councillor Bastone, for the record, Councillor Street left the room at 7.44 and he's back at 7.46. Councillor Bastone.
Yes, I have a question. What was KWS's tender? How much did they tender the contract for?
Councillor Bastone, that was done in closed session a few years ago, so we wouldn't be able to say it now.
Right, OK. Well, what I'm looking at is that if it costs the council $266,000 a loss, I'm trying to see where the loss comes from if KWS is the tenderer, so they're separate from us. I'm trying to work out where our loss of $266,000 comes from.
So KWS is, at the end of every financial year, KWS's profit or loss just goes straight onto our profit and loss. So any loss that they make, it ends up coming back to us.
Right, but they haven't made a loss.
No, they haven't. But it's contributed. If they weren't managing now on Bruny Island, then they'd be. To correct me if I'm wrong, the two of the board members. If they hadn't been managing Bruny Island, their position would be $266,000 better off than it is. Yeah. Is that right?
Thank you. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, Mr. Reeve, he does want to talk.
Sorry.
Look, through you, Mayor. Basically, the situation is that to run the Bruny Island transfer station there, it costs council, not KWS, costs council, $260,000. So the $169,000, which is referred to, was the original tender price. That hasn't actually changed over that period of time since KWS has actually had it, so it hasn't gone up. That's the cost for just running the transfer station. That's the staff and vehicle costs and so forth. The additional cost associated with that is transferring that material that's actually collected at the waste transfer station back to Beretta. So that's a cost to council. That's what council subsidises for using that waste transfer station on Bruny Island.
Okay, thank you. Now, if my next question, which Mr. Reeve might be able to answer us too, if we just transferred it so that, or if we just allowed it to be part of KWS, does that mean that the prices would be consistent? So the amount of waste or the cost for disposing of a trailer load of green waste on Bruny Island would remain the same as the cost of a trailer of green waste at Beretta? Because at the moment we have different prices from all sorts of things, for tyres, for green waste and things. If KWS were running it, would it mean that we would all pay the same amount to dispose of our garbage?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor, no. So council sets all the fees, both for the Bruny Island waste transfer station and the Beretta transfer station. So they make the decision on what they are going to leverage in terms of those fees there. So if you wish to actually change those ones, that would need to be considered through the budget process.
Okay, because if it's cheaper to dump things on Bruny and then it's still costing us $127,000 to bring them across to Beretta, there seems to be something inequitable in that. So we need to look at this during the budget process. Is that right?
Mr. Reeve?
Through you, Mayor. I guess that's up to councillors to make that call, whether they actually wish to actually move away from the model they've actually got at the moment there. So obviously, as mentioned in the report there, it's a heavily subsidised model there, but then Bruny Island's also a very particular place there that's quite different to all the other areas within Kingborough as well at the same time there. So I guess that would be a decision you would need to discuss with your fellow councillors at budget time.
Thank you.
Councillor Westwood.
Thank you. I find the whole setup of
KWS fairly confusing, to be honest. It does concern me that we heavily subsidise the removal of rubbish from the island, although I do acknowledge that because there are a lot of tourists there, we have some responsibility to do that. I don't think it should be cheaper to dispose of your rubbish on Bereni Island. It should probably be a bit more reflective of the cost, as Councillor Bastone has alluded to. And I guess the figures don't quite add up, and I think it's $296,000 that is the loss if you add up the two figures. So it's nearly $300,000. It's a lot of money. That's all I really have.
Councillor Grace.
Do you want me to close?
That Councillor Westwood is right when she says it's confusing. It is confusing. It's unique, in my view. It doesn't make any sense at all. One day I'll get around to trying my motion again to kill it. But until that time, here we are, and I'll be voting against the motion. Councillor Grace.
Look, I mean, regardless on the operation of choice, it is expected that Bruny Island... Yes, it will. See, the problem we have is that Bruny Island don't pay a garbage rate. See, we still... Is it correct?
They don't pay the garbage rates because they don't have curbside collection.
We pay garbage rates, which is subsidising the operations of the Beretta site anyway. Is that right or not? Or that's how it used to work.
Councillor Grace, my understanding is that we set our curbside waste collection at a cost-neutral basis so that user pays in effect. Is that correct, Mr Reeve? Mr Reeve, would you like to comment?
Yeah, through you, Mayor, that's correct.
Yes, right. So. Well, the other issue is too, Mr Mayor, I think the council should be looking at this thoroughly. I'm surprised that KWS haven't come back to us with solutions down there, because the green waste and some of the stuff that's coming back, that green waste, that should be chipped on the island. You can fill a container up with some limbs, and there's nothing in that, but it's full. And then it's picked up, brought over here at high cost. I've seen it. I've seen them coming across with it. Because the guy down at the transfer station, he's virtually got nothing. I don't know whether the bobcat's still down there. I haven't seen that for whatever. But, I mean, I know we're getting off. The subject is, do we let it or don't we let it? I thought the best way would have gone to tender. And filled the market out.
Okay, the motion is moved by Councillor Grace. Sorry, you're up.
Yep.
Moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Bastone, is that Council A, elect not to re-tender the operation of the Bruny Island Waste Transfer Station, and B, KWS formally take on the operational management of the Bruny Island Waste Transfer Station. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against. I have a division. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillors Street, Bastone, Reet, Westwood, Cordova, Midgley and Wass. And those against is Councillors Grace and Winter. The motion is carried. Next item. I want to do this one. Sorry, I keep putting this down. Next item is the Communications and Engagement Policy Framework Strategy. Moved by Councillor Mitchell, seconded by Councillor Cordova. Councillor Mitchell.
Thank you, Mayor. As stated earlier, it is something that I'm very interested in, is communication and engagement framework, more engagement things. But I guess on firstly reading this, I was actually quite amazed that we have just one staff member in this role. And I'd just like to say as well that Ms Sarah Wilcox does an extraordinary job managing the comms, marketing strategy, the engagement, responding to Facebook posts in what I see as a very timely manner, and very politely as well over the weekend, when sometimes there aren't very nice responses and links that aren't working, get fixed. I'm really just quite amazed, and I thank her for this document, as it really provides a great understanding for us to work for the future, and it also provides us, I think, with an understanding of actually all the some of the areas, perhaps there's more, of actually what that role does involve. As it does state in the documents, they are important documents for council, because they do, in not doing these works properly, it does have a risk on the reputation of council. Councils must not only demonstrate the right values, but also communicate and engage effectively, improve itself sensitive, and where appropriate, respond to community needs and aspirations. And I think, as in the 2020s, we are now, the community, as it states as well, they're even more demanding on more consultation, which we've seen tonight loud and clear as well. And I'm sure the area in regards to engagement with the IPA2 training is growing, and we do need a response in how we're managing this among council and also internally as well. And as stated in the document, it says there are an increasing demand from internal council departments for assistance with communication and engagement projects. And I think sitting around this table recently with the playground strategy, we've seen a very thorough way that council staff have actually worked together to provide really great engagement around that. And it is really exciting to see that we're moving ahead of that for the future. So I'd also like to congratulate, and again going above and beyond, in regards to the crisis communication strategy and how this is then going to be sent out to the council's emergency management and recovery officers from a statewide resource. Again, we're very lucky to have Ms. Sarah Wilcox in that role, supporting the Huon Valley in that area, and I guess having learning opportunities and providing a document that will be utilised for other councillors to use. And I think it's a great example of another way that our staff are really leading the way and paving the way in many areas, in this area in particular. I also noted that we're working on a reconciliation action plan, which I wasn't aware of, so that was great to see. And the only question I had in regards to it was, there was a point there, and sorry, I didn't write the page number down, but it was in regards to the annual budget consultation, and I just wondered, what does that look like? Am I allowed to ask a question on that? Or it's in the policy. What does that look like, and what are we doing in regards to that?
Ms. Wilcox.
Through you, Mayor. I guess we'll be talking through that at the budget workshop, because it will really be dependent on the budget that the council sets and drafts for community consultation, and then we can determine the most appropriate way to consult on that then.
Just also offering, if any staff, Ms. Wilcox would like to, Mayor, through you, would like to comment any further on this document, I'd be interested to hear as well.
Question is, would you like to comment further? Because we've got
through you, Mayor. Don't invite me to talk, I might not stop. the experience at Huon Valley, and obviously I've previous to this I worked at Greater Manchester Police, which has given me a great insight in crisis communication, so it's something that's important to me. So thank you for those comments, and thanks for the support of council. This framework is really important because there is only one of me. I need to be able to try and recruit champions within the organisations for them to understand this framework and how important it is to engage appropriately at the right times with the right resources and in the right way, so that we're not just ticking a box. It has to be meaningful. We have to be honest. We have to be accurate. We have to be transparent. So thank you for considering this tonight.
Councillor Westwood.
Thank you. This would have to be one of my favourite things, but apart from maybe the playground strategy. I think this is really, really important, and I think council has been doing this better and better. No doubt that probably coincides with Ms. Wilcox's employment. I'm not quite sure how long you've been around for, but certainly over the last couple of years, there's been a lot more effort, and I've seen a lot more communication from council over various mediums of communication, and I certainly receive a lot of feedback from the community about the uplift in engagement and communication, and it really is appreciated. I think it's almost a double-edged sword because you raise expectations, and that links back to resourcing. Like Councillor Midgley, I would like to see another communications and engagement officer to assist our communications and engagement advisor. I think that would make a big difference. I had a couple of questions around, it mentions training for relevant staff. How will council determine relevant staff as opposed to all staff?
Ms. Wilcox.
Through you, Mayor. At this stage, because I'm delivering the training, I won't be able to deliver it to all staff. However, I do plan to inform all staff that it is happening so that they're aware of it. The relevant staff are mainly those project managers and coordinators so that they can help disseminate it out to officers so that they have an understanding of what our commitment and promise to engagement and communications are.
Thank you. And without expecting you to know everything that happens across the entire organisation, assuming you don't, what triggers individual managers or members of the executive informing you of things that they think need a communications plan or some engagement?
Ms. Wilcox.
Through you, Mayor. Well, this is why I've added in kind of gatecrash the managers' meetings once a month. That way I can have a better and consistent liaison with all of the managers in the organisation. Before that, it was really dependent on me going to separate team meetings to get that information, but now at least I can go to the managers and executive managers meeting once a month. We can go through all the current projects that are on, and then I can hear any issues that are being raised around the table at that meeting, so then I can say, well, I think we probably need a communications plan around that. So that's a mitigation that we've added in to me missing anything.
That sounds good. I'm pleased to see there's a community hub marketing strategy. I think that's needed. And good to see it's in the staff induction. And just in terms of making sure someone is available in the communications and engagement advisor's absence, how and who does that fall to?
Ms. Wilcox.
Through you, Mayor. There's a variety of people that take on a variety of roles that I undertake when I'm not here. So it basically gets farmed out to quite a few people, and whenever I'm on a planned leave of absence, I always put in plans in place for what's happening over that period, and I try not to take any leave, obviously, when there are key engagement or communication projects that are online. So, I try to plan it as best as possible and fan it out to various members of staff, with Gary being the ultimate person responsible as my direct line manager.
Thank you. I think it's wonderful, and I think it will be really beneficial going forwards, and I think the community really appreciates that the efforts that are put into communicating and engaging with them.
Councillor Corover.
Thanks very much. Through you, Mayor, I too would like to echo Councillor Midgley's thanks to Ms. Wilcox for all the brilliant work, and also to commend this motion to the Council. I think it's a very thorough and also timely document, and I think it's very good to have these frameworks in place going forward, because it sets a standard of excellence which speaks to our values. Council seeks to demonstrate transparent, honest, open and accountable leadership, and the way in which we do that is, I guess, underpinned by a framework that sets expectations for everyone. And I got particularly, I guess, uplifted by the idea that we are here building a sense of place through the positive promotion of Kingborough and life in the municipality, and that we engage and listen to Kingborough's residents and consumers through effective engagement. And it really is one of the great privileges of being on the council that, through my short time on it, the amazing work that I've seen
and the amazing communications that have explained to people what the role of council is, that it's so much more than roads, rates and rubbish, and that there's an incredible array of really positive things going on in what has to be the best municipality in the state. Thanks.
Councillor Grace.
I nearly forgot what I was going to say. Look, I spoke to Ms. Wilcox about this. I had some issues, but I understand it more now by having a few minutes with her before the council meeting. But my concerns, as you mentioned just a minute ago, Mayor, through you, that Ms. Wilcox said that she sits now with managers of the organisation, I take from each department. Now, I guess the question that I want to raise about that is, I think it's excellent if that's going to happen, and will you be able to then report to council once every couple of months or 3 months or something? See, the thing that I'm edging to is the fact that the people that don't get satisfaction, rather than have to ring us up and pester the hell out of us, time after time after time, because the council staff haven't rang them back or they didn't get the document, they put this in and then council's lost it. I mean, this is important, that if we get a feedback on how many of these dissatisfied. Is that something you're going to do, or am I talking about something?
Ms. Wilcox.
Through you, Mayor. It's an interesting point you raise, Councillor Grace, and I actually did speak about this to a resident in Woodbridge on the weekend. The responding to residents through inquiries to council goes through our reporting process, and that is overseen by our Executive Manager of Information Services, that process. So my role sits in communications and engagements for key projects and key issues at council. So that's daily communications. I don't want to say too much more about that. That's not really within my role here, but maybe the general manager or someone would like to comment further. But that's a separate process under the customer service charter, I think it is. Yep.
Well, it's all, my staff are there to work for the community. And there is some anger out there about how long it takes to respond and do things. Or groups, I've had groups come to me that also are frustrated with things that could be easily fixed without coming to a councillor. Not that I mind them coming to a councillor, but it makes it more open and transparent for those community people and groups. You're not going to please them all, not even me. You won't please me as long as I... but it's just something I'd like to see. Just say finally, thank you for the information you supply of a weekend outside your hours, etc., to let us know if the wind's blowing and blew the tip to pieces or whatever, or there's been a major prang. If you notice that you are very kind outside your time to send us, and I do appreciate it, and I guess other councillors do.
Councillor Mitchell, would you like to sum up?
Sure, just thank you, Mayor. Just a few little points. I think often when you sit in an engagement role, there's so many people who come and say, I wasn't engaged, I didn't know about that. And I think no matter how good your engagement framework is, you're always going to hear that. That's just part of working with community. But I think what this, as we've stated, many councils around the table, this provides us with a fantastic framework. We're moving forward. We're doing a great job. And we've already seen the last, 15 months since I've been on council, how this area has continued to grow. I just think it's great, and I'm sure that will be reviewed if it's not working, and it's just great to have the framework to move forward, and I'm sure that we will all support it.
Motion is moved by Councillor Midgley and seconded by Councillor Cordova is that the Communications and Engagement Policy, Communications and Engagement Framework and Corporate Communications and Engagement Strategy and Included Actions be adopted. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against... Motion is carried. Move to the Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee meeting, which was held on 13th of December, and the recommended motion is on page 131. Moved by Councillor Midgley and seconded by Councillor Reet. Councillor Midgley.
I did actually attend this bike committee meeting, and I do note that there are motions by the committee to be considered for the budget. The committee made two recommendations relating to capital budget considerations, requesting an increase in the tracks and trails maintenance budget and funding for Taroona Channel Highway, Roslyn Avenue bike lane and a Conyngham to Snug feasibility study. So these were very lengthy debates within the committee, and these were the two motions that they have put forward for consideration in our capital works budget.
Councillor Westwood.
Well, I just had a question. The motion that talks about a 19% increase in the budget for tracks and trails maintenance refers to a 19% increase in the cycling network since 2018. Where does that figure come from?
Is this Mr. Smee or Mr. Reeve?
Through you, Mayor, Council has obviously a known length of kilometres of tracks and trails that we maintain, and I presume the addition of the Snug to Margate trail has increased that length by 19%.
Do we have any figures about any increase in the number of people using our tracks and trails?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, only anecdotally, we have in the past put counters on our tracks, but that's not something we've done in recent years.
And just to quantify the 19%, what is the current budget, the maintenance budget for our tracks and trails? So what does that 19% equate to in dollars?
Mr. Smee or Mr. Reeve?
Roughly.
Three, Mayor, trying to put me on the spot there. It's over 200,000, somewhere between 200 and 250. I'd have to check to get the exact figure on that one there. Probably also like to clarify a little bit with the 19%. 19% would include some other projects that are actually planned in the next year or so as well. So it's probably a little bit less than 19% in terms of additional infrastructure that's put in place. And probably the other thing to actually note as well, it's all about actually trying to maintain a level of service based on the class of track and trail as well at the same time there. So certainly we've done an assessment on our track and trails in the last couple of years or so, and that's certainly identified that some of the conditions of our tracks and trails there are deteriorating.
So so the 200 or 250,000 is the current budget, so it would be 19% of that on top of that. Or is that... That's not...
Yeah. 3 minutes, yeah. So the recommendation would be to increase the entire budget by 19%. That's correct.
So 20-ish thousand... 20, 40. Okay, thank you.
Councillor Reid.
I also have a question on page 136 under other business. About halfway down, it refers to one of the members who has progressed well in the development of a bike park for Taroona. I'm not aware that we're planning a bike park for Taroona. Is that a council project or is that something else?
Mr. Spreeve? It's me.
Cover your bets. Through you, Mayor. My understanding that one, I wasn't actually the meeting myself, but my understanding that one was one that's been undertaken by the school, I believe, in that area there. I could be wrong, but I can double-check and confirm that for you.
Councillor Midgey, do you know more?
So, yes, I did attend the meeting, and from my memory, it's a local resident who, yes, is working in collaboration with the school to put one there. They applied for a grant. Unfortunately, we're not successful for that.
No other lights on. Motion's moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Reid. The Council, A, notes the minutes of the Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee, and B, considers recommendations made by the committee as part of the 2021 budget deliberations. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, motion's carried unanimously. We move to information reports. And I think we're missing the recommendation, which is just that the reports be noted, but can someone move that? Oh, it is? 139? Oh, sorry. We're not missing it. Moved by Councillor Wass, seconded by Councillor Midgley. First one is the General Manager's Diary. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you. I'm just wanting some information on the meeting on the 16th of January. Attended a meeting with members of the JAC group to discuss development matters, and also the 22nd of January met with members of the Kingborough Ratepayers Association. Please.
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The first meeting with the JAC group predominantly to discuss Spring Farm, progress and Whitewater Park, and also to advise that they had engaged consultants to commence preparing a case for what they were calling an infill development proposal outside the current regional land use strategy urban growth line or boundary. In relation to the second meeting with the Kimberley Ratepayers Association, my colleague Penny Hughes and I met with two representatives from the association's executive to discuss feedback that they'd received, particularly in relation to council's workforce and turnover in certain departments.
Councillor Loss.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I was wondering whether the General Manager might like to elaborate further on the discussions with Francis Bender.
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Well, predominantly it was to discuss the development that's currently being undertaken by Francis and her partner, of a residential development in Tinderbox, but to raise a matter with us that we have taken up with TAS Water in relation to the potential for accessing non-potable but treated water that, similar to councillors might recall, what was being proposed for a pipeline across the South Arm for development of a proposed golf course.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Just wondering about the 9th of January, the Southern Waste LGAT, the 14th of January, Saleh Sultan, the 28th of January, the North Melbourne Football Club, and the 31st of January, the City Deal. I didn't think I was that interested, but I am.
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The first meeting, Southern Waste, at Legat. As Council would be aware, whilst we're not a member of the STCA, we do contribute and therefore participate in two initiatives, one being the Regional Climate Change Initiative and the other one, Waste. This discussion particularly focused on waste and the fact that with the state government's recent announcement that it would seek to introduce a container levy deposit scheme on waste, it's appropriate that the Southern Councils work together to be prepared for any opportunity that might come along in that regard. In relation to the meeting on the 14th of January, Mr. Sultan has actually, I think for want of a better term, it's a parking app. Yes, I was just trying to think of the best way to describe it. He's developed a parking app which may have potential at some stage for this council, subject to council's recent decision to defer pay parking in central Kingston until such time as there are park and ride facilities provided. The next one you raised was the 28th of January meeting with the North Melbourne Football Club. I was joined by Mr. Smee at that meeting. We met with representatives of the North Melbourne Football Club who were discussing one of their community activities, which they call the Huddle. And at some stage, I suspect that this council, along with our three Metro colleagues will probably receive a proposal from the North Melbourne Football Club that will require us to report that to council. And the final one was one of the ongoing meetings that I attend as part of the Greater Hobart project, in this particular one related to transport and housing, and that work is still in its early stages, as you'd appreciate, but we do have an implementation plan and we are working towards that.
Councillor Bastain.
Thank you, Mayor. In relation to meeting with the North Melbourne Football Club, as you've just explained, were they going to pay us? Is that part of the meeting?
What question? General Manager.
Through Mr. Mayor, quite the contrary, Councillor Bastain. I suspect that it's just a matter of the amount of the contribution they'd be looking for to give the four Metro Councils the pleasure of joining with them in that proposal.
Okay, no further lights on. Next one is current and ongoing minute resolutions. No lights. Okay, we're going to move on. Kingston Park implementation report. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. I really appreciate this Kingston Park implementation report, but sometimes when we have an agenda and then with an attached document that is quite controversy, it's actually, I don't give it all the love that I'd like to. And some of the thoughts I had in regards to this, because I read it and I think, oh yeah, I think I knew this from last time, I'm wondering what is new. I'm just wondering if at all, if there are any new bits, if there are any changes to last reports, or if there is some things that perhaps we don't know about that we really need to have a look at, is there any way that we could write the report that kind of provides a bit of a summary around that to ensure that I give it all the everything I need to give it and actually understand if there is any changes?
Mr. Ferrier.
Through the chair, yes, that's quite possible. What I might do in future is I'll just highlight in yellow or something like that the bits that have changed from the previous version, because you're right, it is just an incremental sort of change each time to update it to include anything that's more current. So I'm happy to do that if that makes it easier for the councillors to read. Yes, that's fine.
That'd be great. Sometimes I read it all, but sometimes I just, yeah. But I just had a question in regards to, I'm wondering if at all we are working with Dark Mofo this year to provide anything at the pub at Kingston Park, or if they've approached us or any kind of conversations we've had, any major kind of developments.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, we haven't been approached. We were approached in the past, but not this year. So, again, there's a need to be mindful of the development work that's occurring on site with respect to the limitations that provides for what we can do.
Okay, I thought that might be the answer. Thank you.
Councillor Bastain.
Thank you. I just have a couple of questions. One is on the road construction within Kingston Park. And the Goshawk Way, the first stage. The second stage says it's proposed to be carried out within the next few years. And I was wondering if there is any sort of time frame on it, considering that this will be a major road when we're trying to reconstruct the Channel Highway.
Mr. Ferrier.
Through the chair, yes. Councillor Bastain is correct. It's probably next few years. We'd like to do that fairly soon. We're currently working on the design for that road. There is still some consideration being given to whether it becomes a roundabout or some traffic lights at that point. I think roundabout is probably the only option at this stage, but we're just finalising that design, and we would like to have that completed before the main Channel Highway Road is constructed so that there is that alternative transport route. So yes, there is probably more urgency on that stage, that second stage of Goshawk Way, than is actually indicated in the report by saying in the next few years.
Thank you. And the other on Pardalo Parade, Council has commissioned a landscape architect to design the pedestrian component. Perhaps this should be delayed at the moment due to possible change of circumstances?
Through the chair, it has been delayed to the extent that we're not sure how that will fit in with any redesign of the Channel Highway. So it is just put aside for the time being, and we're looking at finalising a few other jobs with Play Street so that they're still progressing some other work, but we will be doing part of that other part of Pardalo Parade as soon as we know how the Channel Highway is to be designed.
Councillor Watts.
Thank you, Mayor. The report talks about the roundabout both on Beach Road and on Huon Highway. Beach Road previously went to the roundabout that Department of State Growth have got, and yet we're now changing it. Can we go back to what it should be, please, and call it Beach Road back from that roundabout? Because the Huon Highway starts at that roundabout and goes down the Huon, not come into Kingston.
Through the chair, the Huon Highway is the name given to the state road. The Beach Road is the name given to the council road, so that's the difference. The actual boundary between the two is just beyond the current Beach Road roundabout. So, in other words, it is a council road just on the other side of the Beach Road. What we're currently seeking to do with the Department of State Growth is to extend the council road a bit further, so it includes the future roundabout for Goshawk Way, so that the Beach Road nomenclature will continue on past Goshawk Way Junction in future, and then it will transfer to the Huon Highway, being the state road.
Yeah, thank you. But it was always known as Huon Highway from the roundabout, and not didn't come towards Kingston. So they've obviously changed it for whatever reason. So it's a bit strange.
Councillor Grace.
I just want to say, Mayor, I won't be voting for the Kingston Park report, so therefore I've got to vote against the whole.
Thanks, Councillor Grace. No more lights. Then we go to the councillors' attendance at meetings and workshops. Who's got a complaint?
Oh, I'm not complaining. I wasn't at the special meeting. I attended remotely from my bed. Made me feel even sicker than...
The AGM.
And I listened online from New Zealand. So.
There you go. Yep, Ms. Morton's noting all this down. She has to listen to this whole thing again tomorrow, remember? So. Okay, no more comments on our attendance or lack of. No, next item is the donations table for period 1 July to 31 December. Oh, council allowances, sorry. Council allowances next. Councillor Westwood, complaints.
Well, I could complain about the cost of the code of conduct complaints, which I think is really unfair on council, especially given they were found to have no substance and were vexatious, and now we've got a bill for it. So sorry about that, everyone.
$4,367. Both of us. Combined effort, that one. Yeah, very silly, aren't we? Anyway, we'll move on. There's no more lights. So the next one is the donations table. Five, four, three, two, one. Next item is... that's it. That's the last one. Okay. Yes, the motion was moved by Councillor Watts, seconded by Councillor Midgley, and so that the following information reports be noted: General Manager's Diary, current and ongoing minute reports, resolution, sorry. Kingston Park Implementation Report, Council's allowance, attendance at meetings and workshops for the period 1 July 2019 to 31 December 2019, Councillors' allowances for the period 1 July 2019 to 31 December 2019, and donations table for the period 1 July 2019 to 31 December 2019. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? Motion. You're also only noting it, so, but you've voted no, so I think. So you, I have a division. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Street, Bastone, Reet, Westwood, Cordova, Midgley, Wass and Winter, and those against is Councillor Grace. The motion is carried. Next item is the confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. The motion is that in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, Council by absolute majority move into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes, application for leave of absence, sale of Council land, current ongoing minute resolutions. Moved by Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against, motion is carried unanimously, and the open session of Council is adjourned at 8:31 p.m. And they're